Welcome to the Bards FM podcast. This is Scott Kesterson, and tonight you're listening to The Stage is Set. This war is real. Fighting is everything. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Tempt not the righteous man to draw his sword. Conviction, righteousness, ruthlessness. To understand tolerance, you have to understand the line of intolerance. War is the teacher, soldiers are the students. They become the bards of war. Good evening, patriots. And tonight is Monday, March 25th in the year 2024. Lots of things have transpired over the last 48 hours. From an attack in Russia by terrorists, that one of which learned that it was a bad idea to not have ear protection, while others have been wondering who really did that attack. And Putin now has basically called out the deep state and the CIA, and probably within all that we would infer Mossad, which is no surprise. We have news on P. Diddy, who's not going to be rapping the same way anymore now that he's had to escape because he's being charged with child sex trafficking. No surprise there either. And many more things. So essentially what is happening now is the world is prepared in such a time as now to have more truths be revealed. And they are moving quickly. And the truth is pouring out in such a way that it's unavoidable. And we'll just have to see where all this takes us. Now, patriots, one thing we absolutely can be certain of is these psychopaths absolutely and totally enjoy seeing people being tormented. And this is something to keep in mind. We're going to have to work very hard in our world to keep ourselves prepared because they're trying to pull the rug out every turn we take. One of those areas we know that they're going after is food, and food is a weapon system. The disruptions we're having from the east to the west of the United States with the destruction of food processing plants to weather to the variety of things with cattle, and cattle production is declining. We are seeing a food crisis emerging, and doesn't take much, especially with economic upheaval, to put yourself in a very bad place. You need to have a good food plan. The principal issue of a good food plan is a plan that accounts for emergency food that is always ready, always preserved, never have anything to worry about whether it's there and how and whether it's going to keep you nutritious. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. So you want to head on over to preparewithbards.com. These links are always below the podcast, preparewithbards.com. There you'll find the 3-month emergency food kit and many others available for you to get one for every member of your family and prepare for disaster. These are things that everyone should have in their home. And it really doesn't matter if it's the pedophile elites or if it's just a natural disaster. The fact of the matter is that we all have always lived on unstable times. And as we understand how easy it is to shock the systems, especially with black swan events and unexpecteds, it's necessary to be prepared. We're seeing weather unprecedented these days. We're seeing upheavals that are unlike anything we've witnessed in our history. So be prepared. So head on over to preparewithbards.com. You're going to find these kits available. They have 2,000 calories a day. They're wrapped in 4-layer packages, so they have a 25-year shelf life. It's truly a nutritious package designed to keep you sustained and keep you mentally focused during crisis. So again, preparewithbards.com. Preparewithbards.com. Links are below the podcast. Let's start with a post today by DC Drano. Harvard deleted their website pages talking about DEI, which is diversity, equity, inclusion, and racial segregation. IBM shut down its company chat room after execs were caught punishing workers for not excluding enough white men. Boston Mayor Wu apologized after getting caught throwing a party where white people weren't allowed. If DEI is so virtuous, why do they always delete evidence once their racism is exposed? Because woke people are weak, and because the executives themselves are weak and they're obeying orders which they don't agree with and know that are morally wrong. But this is at the core of our entire nation right now. We are dealing with a morally bankrupt nation, and the things that they will do for money to sell their soul is quite frankly unprecedented.
Now, this is an article that came out in The Atlantic, and it's literally, it's interesting today because I took my Jeep over to get some work done, and the shop that does the Jeep work in our area, and that's all they do is Jeep work, is owned by one of our state representatives. In fact, he's one of my representatives here in this local area for the state legislature. Virgil, great guy. We spoke for probably an hour and a half on just getting up to date, and it's interesting that we talked. His perspectives are very much parallel to some of the things I've said, and I want to echo that. Oregon had a measure called Measure 110. Measure 110 was the decriminalization of all drugs in our state, literally. And what has happened is, as you would expect, it failed. In The Atlantic, the headline reads, "Why Oregon's Drug Decriminalization Failed," with a subtext that says, "The sponsors of the law fundamentally misunderstood the nature of addiction." In other words, they are retarded. And they are. This is most of the problem with the woke left, whatever we want to call the woke left. And on top of this, I'm going to include a whole bunch of obedient voters, whether you're conservative or whether they're on the left or the right, that just don't take time to read. They're just willfully ignorant. And this is a problem in our nation because these measures are extremely important to understand the details of. Now, Measure 110 decriminalized drugs, and they've allocated millions of dollars. In fact, $260 million were allocated to services such as naloxone distribution, employment and housing services, voluntary treatment, all this stuff. But if anybody's ever been around somebody who's addicted, you know very well that they don't voluntarily go in and go, "Yo, I'm on heroin and I would like now to stop. So please just, I'm going to be part of your program. But thanks for giving me the free drugs." This doesn't work. And this is the whole principle of their idealism and stupidity, that they literally have created wreckage across our state. And I'm highlighting this because it's created a new stage, a political stage for which they're now operating in, and they don't know what to do. Here's what has happened. When Oregon passed Measure 110, 59% of the state was in favor of this vote. Now, honestly, most of that came from heroin-addicted, child sex trafficking-centered, sex club-loving Portland and the outer perimeters of Portland. Since that time, the destruction of this has been immense. Sheriffs have had to deal with the problem. Cartels have moved into the states. There has been an overload of people on the streets of Portland. And lo and behold, what happened? The Hispanic and the Black vote joined in with the rest of them, and they said stop. And now the state's position is that 64% wanted it repealed. Well, the Democrat and the liberal side were desperate to get it switched because, or to not lose the base of the Black vote. And they fought tooth and nail to try to do nothing but just slightly change the rule, thanks to a very powerful constituency of county commissions, sheriffs, and a lobbying group that was fighting against the ACLU. They were able to get this overturned. And our governor, who happens to be a lesbian train wreck, even though she is doing some things that are maybe okay, she nonetheless has agreed to sign this, I guess has signed this now, to repeal 110. But here's the bigger picture of it. And this is the piece where Virgil and I had a very interesting talk today. His words are echoed exactly what I've said to you here. Oregon is the petri dish for the rest of the nation. What they do here, they test run and they work out the bugs before they roll it out. This measure, Measure 110, was intended to go nationwide, coast to coast, to legalize drugs in every single state. And fortunately, thanks to a very aggressive move by conservatives, by smart people, even and very well-meaning people, county commissions and sheriffs and strong lobbies efforts and the strong constituency, even though they're a minority party, they were able to turn this over, and Measure 10 now effectively across this nation is dead. It won't move anymore. Fantastic move, and it's a great thing to celebrate because legalization of drugs is the backbone to try to killing off our nation. Now, this is interesting. He told me, he said they achieved 85% of what they wanted, which is fantastic. There were two conservatives that voted against it because they didn't get the 100% of what they wanted. They got so badly framed. When they left the chamber afterwards, the ACLU met them and gave them bouquets of flowers and framed them to make it look like they voted it down because they were pro-drugs. This is how bad the situation gets. Now, to the credit to my county, Douglas County, Southern Oregon, my sheriff and my county commission have made it clear that it doesn't go far enough, that they wanted it 100% repealed and they want every drug user in jail that is going to be moving drugs in this county. God bless them. That's good. We'll keep pushing on that. So, in other news, it's important to understand the nation is starting to shift. And the thing is that these sorts of stories are starting to be well received and people are ready to receive them. This has come about, and I'm not going to suggest that somehow there's a bunch of white hats that are engineering all this. It's the osmotic pressure of the nation. So let me speak about this just a second. There is the pervasive Q theory is that there is a bunch of white hats that are engineering all this magically somehow behind the scenes, and everything is suddenly going to happen at once, and there's going to be this flood of stuff because a bunch of dudes sitting around a table smoking cigars and probably having a shot of whiskey went, hey, let's do a plan, and then we execute a plan. You're not witnessing that. The thing is that it tends to look that way because we're at a critical point where we're hitting critical mass, and what's happening is the nation is starting to shift very rapidly, and we're seeing this happen. Here's another headline as an example. You know, the failures of Boeing, suddenly the CEO of Boeing steps down. This is in the same week that we've had the Trump case today, changed its bail amount, dropped it to $170 million. We have and they were threatening to confiscate his properties. That went out the window. You have the same weekend that we have the deal with Putin, who has now officially said that they're going to go after the deep state attack. We see that, and we have the story of P. Diddy, who was all of a sudden, he's being arrested. All of this looks like, oh my goodness, it's all happening now. It's all happening, as the Q people like to say. This is what happens when we apply osmotic pressure through unconventional warfare methods. Cliff High referred to something called self-organizing communities. There's a principle of goodness that happens in people's hearts. There are more good than bad in this nation. The problem is that most people were put to sleep and were overwhelmed, and that's the principle of a color revolution, is that you overwhelm the media, you overwhelm perception with lies, that there's a greater movement ahead of you than there actually is, and in the process, people are caught deep. They're caught without wind. They don't know what to do, and they're disoriented. Color revolutions succeed that way because it's an information war that changes the perception and makes your enemy feel like it's everywhere and on top of you and you can't move. The greatest thing that has happened in our nation is the rise of independent media outside of anybody's concern. And it's funny to watch how patriots are around independent media. Everybody gets upset. They have one person or that person they like. They don't like this person. What is being missed is there is a flood, a deluge of information that's moving right now. And I don't care who you listen to or don't listen to. The point is that all of this information in the end creates a massive amount of pressure on a system that has been sustained by lies. That osmotic pressure has been creating stimulus, meaning people are saying, okay, enough is enough. I'm going to step in and I'm going to actually start taking action in my local community, or I'm going to be more active in my church, or I'm going to run for office, or whatever else they decide. TikTok is a great example. TikTok is a dual hat. The generation that's growing up on TikTok in our nation is being dumbed down by TikTok. Yet for certain age groups, TikTok has been a predominant way of communicating information. But the minute that they threatened to take TikTok away, an entire generation stood up and said, I am not going to be for, you cannot censor this TikTok. Why that's important is now they're suddenly stepping into an arena that they've otherwise been on the edge of, which is to start saying, I'm going to be part of the civics process in our nation. And they're going to very quickly get a lesson in how our government works. This is osmotic pressure. And when you start to move things, and even when the enemy, you create such an environment that even when the enemy tries to do something to punish the people, it now backfires. And that's where we are now, is that pretty much anything that moves forward, no matter what direction we end up with, we are going to end up with a community, the nation that is questioning everything. And that's fundamentally the goal, is people need to question everything. It's break away from party alliance, ask questions, hard questions, even if those questions end up being ones that don't end up leading to a right conclusion, a conclusion of good or bad that you want. The questions that are being asked are necessary to break down the power of the matrix. This is the stage now that is set for people to start being prepared to step into a nation that is going to be by and for the people. This is what's exciting about this time. And we're starting to see it happen in so many forms. It's happening quickly. And in so doing, people are now starting to hear the truth, and the pressure is being applied on the many different agencies, including media outlets, to tell the truth. So here's an example. Today, in what is relatively big news, Diddy, P. Diddy, was arrested, or his house was raided by DHS. This is all precedent on the case that was filed against him. This is Sean Combs. It was filed against him, and they have now moved on this to charge him with a variety of things. So P. Diddy is now being accused. I'm going to read this from Green Lives Matter, which is also, it's at UltraFrog17. P. Diddy is now being accused of sex trafficking akin to Jeffrey Epstein, eliciting underage sex workers, RICO racketeering, and grooming men for sex. Allegations in a latest lawsuit targeted at P. Diddy where he is being accused of groping men, touching genitalia and anus of a male music producer. A criminal enterprise where they are all feeding towards this one individual's depravity. Everyone seemed to know and go out and facilitate what Diddy Combs wanted. They call it his. They call his chief of staff, the Ghislaine Maxwell to P. Diddy's Jeffrey Epstein, saying that this was a total sex enterprise to feed into his desires. Now, we've also learned that P. Diddy was apparently a prep school kid that was already trending towards homosexual behavior. He was never a street gangster rapper. They made that image up to make him look powerful and to allure other black men to come and see him. Now, I want you to hear this report, and this is what's so significant about this report is who is telling it. The information is going to be detailed, but this report is fantastic in that. Well, before we do that, I'm going to start the first report with Fox News, and then I'm going to jump to this report. And both of these reports are mainstream media. The first report is Fox News. The second report is Cuomo from his new show, which is probably sponsored by CNN, the Cuomo News, and also from ABC News. These are three main outlets. Take a listen to this. This is pretty fantastic. This is TMZ.com.
Breaking news right now. We're following the Department of Homeland Security conducting a raid at a house in Holmby Field Hills, believed to be connected to Sean Combs, the rapper and music executive, perhaps being linked to a sex trafficking investigation.
He got some shots of a few people coming out of the home. Those people have been detained. Now, we're trying to still connect the dots. We do have some sources on scene here that we're getting this information from. We were actually the first ones here with about 30 different law enforcement vehicles at least. There are three Bearcats on scene here. This just all unfolded, Sandra, I would say, less than 10 minutes ago. We got here even before the crime scene tape came up. So we're just down the hill. If you look up the street where Tony is right now to the right, you'll see one of those Bearcats and law enforcement. And on the other side of those bushes, basically, is that home that is registered to Bad Boy Films, which is part of Bad Boy Entertainment. And
now, Diddy fled the country, in case you're curious about that. He jumped out of the country and he headed over to one of the little islands there that has a non-extradition treaty with the United States, which should come as no surprise to anybody. And that is no surprise. I'm sure he's not guilty. I'm pretty sure of that. I think he just took a trip at the same time. Now, take a listen to this. This is the report that I really want you to hear here, and then we've got to cut the context. This report comes from ABC News, with a black commentator, and we also have a part here from Cuomo's new show, Cuomo NewsHour, which is with a female commentator. So listen to this. It's pretty interesting.
Where they're talking about this being a criminal enterprise that's all feeding towards this one individual's depravity of wanting drugs and sex and rock and roll and everything in between, that everyone seemed to know and go out and facilitate what Sean Diddy Combs wanted. Even in part of these allegations or these complaints, they call his chief of staff, the Ghislaine Maxwell, to P. Diddy's Jeffrey Epstein, saying that this was a total sexual enterprise to feed into his desires.
We have sexual assault assault allegations. We have sexual harassment allegations relating to what he deems to be an employment relationship. We have allegations that Sean Combs and his son were involved in a shooting and that he was told to cover up that helped to cover up that shooting with the police, that he was told to lie to police. We have that he was groomed to engage in intercourse with another man, with other men. We also have these really serious sex trafficking allegations that they were eliciting underage sex workers, bring them across state lines, and RICO racketeering allegations, which mean in furtherance of a criminal enterprise that relates to drug use and the solicitation of sex workers.
Does he get cover? This is a civil suit. Does he get cover for acknowledging his behavior in criminal activities, or does he say it was all forced?
That's what I found to be so interesting about this. He actually admits in this complaint that he lied to police officers, and he's just saying that he was under the manipulation, the fear of threat and intimidation by Combs. So that's not necessarily right. enough to save you if there were to be a criminal inquiry down the line.
So it's a risk
Absolute
to kind of thicken
risk.
Out the situation, because now there could be an after effect. He could get a settlement here, or he could go to trial and win this and then wind up having his own legal problems.
A lot of these allegations are criminal in nature, although this is a civil complaint, so presumably if it were right. investigated and deemed to have some veracity, there would be more to this.
So, but this is based on sex trafficking allegations as well as claims that are criminal in nature. For me, I'm thinking SDNY, that being the Southern District of New York, right here in Manhattan, they're probably looking at these allegations and thinking, where are the videos? Where are these still shots that we're seeing in these complaints? And can we investigate it to see if there's more here, potentially criminal charges?
Now, his allegation is Combs forced him to solicit sex workers and underage girls for sex. Okay. But also drugged him, sexually assaulted him, and groomed him to have sex with other men.
So if you see me looking down, I'm looking down at the 73-page complaint that was filed yesterday. In terms of allegations of celebrities, we're talking about Cuba Gooding Jr. being shown through still photos of what the complainant says they have videos of groping him. There are allegations of P. Diddy touching the genitalia and anus of the complainant. And also, if you look to the complaint here, there's a few Easter eggs here where it says the rapper redacted on Mr. Combs' yacht consorting with underage girls and sex workers. And you look down to the redacted. It says, well, the person is a Philly rapper who dated Nicki Minaj. I think that may be Meek Mills. It also says an R&B singer redacted in Mr. Combs' Los Angeles home, consorting with underage girls and sex worker. When you go down to the redaction, it says he's a Grammy Award-winning R&B singer who had trouble with law enforcement after assaulting a Bayesian billionaire. I don't know who's a billionaire from Barbados that we know that dated someone. That sounds like Chris Brown. So there's a lot of big names here, both as Easter eggs and also just on the front pages of these allegations.
Wow, just huge. Now, the lawsuit also claims the misconduct happened during the creation of Diddy's latest album, The Love Album, and is seeking, as we've mentioned, $30 million. The suit not only names the mogul, but includes his son and Universal Music Group, claiming there is an alleged RICO enterprise to enable his misconduct. Explain why the lawsuit goes beyond Diddy and what's kind of at stake here.
So this is really quite a powerful release, and it's not, it's like one of these things, kind of like I talked about before in the repeal of Measure 110. It's not 100%, but it is approaching more truth than we've seen it come out of mainstream media in longer than I can possibly remember. The thing is that what has happened here is at the core of this are children. There's going to be child sex trafficking at the core of this. We know this because they can't avoid it, and they're alluding to it all over. They're trying to gloss this over and trying to put the focus on Sean Combs, and they're trying to put the focus on his producer and trying to keep you away from the deeper truths. But the problem is that this thing is now broken out of any control mechanism that they have, and the mainstream media has no choice but now to speak this truth and now provide details. It also does something else pretty powerfully. The elitism of the black perspective that has been happening in our culture and has been fanned by our elites to try to set the black male, the black culture above white culture has now been broken. And so when we start to break all this down, especially when we start to look at the tiering, we're going to start seeing at the core of this the greater root of pollution and corruption. We can't deny the fact that Epstein himself was part of Mossad, which makes him Jewish, which ties him to the Israeli state. when you're going to get into this and you go down this rabbit hole, you're going to find the same types of things. You're going to find the same level of people that are above Diddy. They were part of recruiting him in, which is going to be the same Zionist cult that is part of this. But all of these people have been willfully participant. The public now is being deluged with more truth, and many of the people that have chosen to step aside, to stay into the mainstream media, are now going to get hit with this sort of information, and they're not going to be able to step aside from it. This is going to increase, in my opinion. It's going to continue to flood because more and more of these stories are unavoidable, and you can't step aside from them. And that's literally what we're seeing now within the Russia issue, and the Russia issue has been extremely powerful in awakening people to the level of terror. Everybody has been watching that. Though I'll admit there is a very strange anomaly in that entire issue. And I did some research on this today, which I'm going to leave for a future date of show. But the movie Tenet, if you haven't seen it, is a very bizarre correlation to what we just saw in Russia. Tenet was filmed in the exact location with the same scenario as we just witnessed happen in Russia. Much of this can be argued that it is programming, pre-programming in the minds to prepare people for the event. There's probably, in my opinion, more to it than that. But nonetheless, Russia has made it very clear that they're not going to stand for any of this, and they're going to seek retribution for what has happened. I'm going to play a piece here, 2 minutes, which has a voiceover translation of Putin's speech about that topic.
Who is to benefit? This crime can only be a link in a chain of attempts by those who are at war with our country since 2014. The Nazis, the Kyiv regime, who never stopped at any means using any kinds of inhuman tactics to achieve their goals, especially now when their so-called counteroffensive has failed, as recognized by everyone, and the Russian armed forces possess the initiative along the entire front line, and no attempts to stabilize the situation for the Ukrainian sides have been successful. This has led to their attempts to penetrate our borders and their shellings of Russian civilian infrastructure, including energy infrastructure, their attempts to make strikes at the Crimean Bridge, the Crimean Peninsula. These steps make up a logical sequence of terrorist attacks and attempts to intimidate the Russian society and sow discord. At the same time, to show their own population that the Kyiv regime is still strong, that the only thing people need is to obey the orders that come from Washington, fight to the last Ukrainian, and to adopt new orders on mobilization, create youth brigades like Hitler used to have, and the money that are being provided for these purposes will certainly be appropriated by the higher-ups.
Here's something that's important to understand. The United States is the center of all of this evil being run by proxy agents, particularly proxy agent of the State of Israel. And we're deeply infiltrated in our leadership in corporations and in our leadership in our country. Most of our politicians have a dual citizenship with Israel. And you'll find that that's common through many layers of industry. Or they're run purely by people that consider themselves Jewish or Israeli, loyalty first. When we are dealing with break explosions like P. Diddy, which is important, it's exposing the corruption within our own system. Outside the world, right, and in the world right now, I would say that in the general perception from everything I'm putting together, there is a sense of questioning of what happened to America. And it's rightfully unjust to ask this, because what they see as America and what we are two different things, and what we think we are. We continue to keep ourselves insulated from a lot of this threat, and the biggest challenge they have, the world has, is waiting for Americans to wake up while the engines of war and financial war continue to rape and pillage around the world. by the just cause of what just happened in Russia, Russia has a right to attack any country by the terms which we created with 9/11. 9/11 was an incident obviously engineered by our CIA, by the Mossad, and in so doing, we were able to launch a war against basically the entire Middle East. We went into Afghanistan, we went into Iraq, we did cross-border work in Pakistan, and we did work throughout the entire region. And we used Israel as our proxy to even do work within Iran. It is interesting to note, just as a footnote, that three of our most virulent enemies, according to our state media and by our politicians, are Russia, Iran, and China. Of those three countries, all of those countries have an exploding Christian population. Russia, under Putin, has built hundreds of churches. China has the eastern fastest growing Christian population, and Iran has the fastest Middle Eastern growing Christian population. All three of those are deeply hated by us, supposedly, because those three countries pose the greatest triad of threat and the axis of evil that's coming at us. Just a footnote worth mentioning, because nothing is as it seems. We are in a place right now where our country is being run by a cabal of people that wants the world to be at its feet. And it's doing everything it can to continue to wax over its evil by keeping this country in fear or in compliance. Fear and compliance are one of two of the most powerful things we could possibly do, because fear on one hand keeps people submissive. Compliance is giving people enough of what they can satisfy them through material means. Those two bring together to create a trap where people live truly in an inverted world and do so willfully. So we're in a moment right now with any time we see an event like P. Diddy that crops up, because this is disrupting a powerful narrative of obedience and of an icon within the black culture. To understand as well that within black culture, homosexuality is very much not accepted, unlike the brokenness of white culture. White culture has accepted homosexuality and homosexual men as a new normal, where black culture still fights it very much. So these are major disruptive events when we start to realize that P. Diddy was a homosexual, has been operating as a homosexual and a pedophile, while the white culture is still trying to digest what it is if we should or should not accept pedophilia. And I mean that just as I say, because there isn't much resistance to the push of pedophilia in white culture. There just isn't. It's just kind of this accepted corruption in the system, like, oh, it's corrupt. Black culture is still very much virulent against it. So these are things, again, that start to bring sides together and disrupt the control element within our own country. Now, Putin has been very forward-leaning on what we've seen, and it's just interesting to note the cascade of events. And I'm not necessarily linking them, but it's worth noting that what we have here right now is a series of events where there is an attack on Russia. This attack was a botched attack, and the assailants or the people involved in the attack, the terrorists, were then fleeing. All four of them were captured. Now, Putin has been allowed the media to be very visual of the torture of these people, which has been surprisingly not resisted against. And the public, for the most part, has sided with that torture as okay. Now, why this gets to be a problem for the deep state is they have lost control of that narrative in Gaza. So note the number of things that have happened. Last week, we withdrew. This is under Biden, which is a bit bizarre. And this is why there is, in my opinion, some pretty powerful maneuvers going around behind scenes. Some of it is being driven by the awakening of a populace in this nation that is now seeing the truth. And these politicians are starting to get very much concerned for their own safety and well-being if they don't start to comply to their constituents. We have seen the withdrawal of funding from the UN Humanitarian Assistance Group. We withdrew that. We have now turned over humanitarian assistance in Gaza Strip to our own people. We're handling it directly on our own, which, interestingly enough, is something Trump talked about and avoiding using the UN. So we're actively involved in bringing humanitarian assistance to Gaza, number one. Number two, Putin has said that this was ISIS. We've played a clip earlier of how ISIS was, in fact, Israeli Secret Intelligence Service, and they noted that in their own memos that they sent out quite a number of years ago. And then Putin has been very open about torturing these people, and including footage has now surfaced of them literally cutting the ear off of one of these unfortunate souls and having it fed to him and making him eat it. these are, we would consider these to a certain point graphic and extreme, but there's a message being sent out. And my interpretation of this is this message is being sent right into the elements of the CIA and the Mossad that have been active in trying to destabilize countries around the world, meaning there's probably a measure of turning of tide, especially in Russia, against this enemy. So we have that happen. We have P. Diddy get arrested today following that event in Russia. A lot of these events are starting to coalesce, and my guess is the farther we go down this rabbit hole, we're going to start to find common linkages, and these things are starting to pull apart networks. The way you go after networks is to hit them simultaneously in different parts of the world to start to break their command and control structure. And when you start to do that, you're starting to limit their ability to communicate and to be able to operate. And so in a general glimpse of this, as disconnected as they may seem, when we get to the root, which is always the same, which is fear and terror and child sex trafficking and drugs, you're going to find common roots in all of these, and they're going to continue to link. And so a lot of these events that seem to be unrelated are very much related in bringing things together. We're in a very significant shift, but there's still a long ways to go, and there's still a massive war being waged here in our own country. Here's one as an example. This is one that is known as tagging of cattle. So within the omnibus bill was buried $115 million to earmark towards cattle tagging. This is extremely important, and this is one of these subtle things they keep maneuvering to try to maintain control systems on our own people. And this is from Wall Street Apes. Very important. It says, not only do American farmers say this could put all small family farms out of business, but Representative Tom Massey says this is the first step to banning cattle. So take a listen to this interview.
He wants to ban cattle, and before you can ban anything, you need a registry. You need to know where it's at and who owns it, and that's why they want to tag cattle. We've seen it happen in Europe. Now, on the right, you've got some cronies who stand to make some money from these ear tags. They're the ones who get the $15 million earmark. It doesn't go to USDA. It's going to, quote, stakeholders. That is a code word for private entities are getting a handout, and what they'll do, they'll verticalize the industry. With this, the big corporations, you know, you just talked about China. There are four corporations control meat processing in the United States. One's owned by China, one's owned by Brazil. American ranchers will be working for those organizations if this tracking goes through, because they'll verticalize the industry.
Shad, what's your response to this tracking of cattle? Are you concerned as well?
Oh, yes, I am. It is the key that opens the door to the end of independent producers across the country. And it is a private property rights issue that we really have to consider here. When we start talking about RFID, EID, and data monitoring of farmers and ranchers and their cattle herd size, we open up the door to what is going on in the European Union. And under the rules of sustainable development, we know that the RFID has led to land seizure in the name of climate change. So once we open that door, there's no going back. And they can come and they can monitor, measure, report, and verify everything that's going on your farm or ranch. And then maybe down the road, in the name of climate change, they can come and dictate to you the rules of their production, which is subjective from a third-party verification, and it is extremely dangerous to private property rights. This is a liberty taker, not a liberty maker.
This is 100% true right here, and it's important to understand that this is the war that they continue to fight. So while these things on a global level may look exciting to talk about, and events like P. Diddy are important to awaken, the root of the fight comes down to our own property rights. Now, as I mentioned in the beginning, I spoke with the state representative, Virgil, and we talked about this specific topic. And this is what we both agreed is a great move. And he's going to actually help me draft this measure that we're going to put before the county commission, and that is to ban cattle tagging in our county. He said that one of the important things about that is that if the counties can start putting pressure and making the maneuver, the lawmakers will be apprehensive to pass it. Now, we've seen the success of this when we take a citizens initiative. Christine Taylor and Kevin Taylor, if you have been following our Sunday morning programs, have been fighting against the company that wanted to set up a waste processing, chemical waste and toxic waste processing plant in their township in Ohio. This war has been waged both in prayer and in action on the ground by them. And really, two people, backed by prayer, single-handedly turned a measure where nobody was paying any attention to it, to where they just voted last week and they won victoriously. 85% or 86% of the people voting voted against it, and they drove the company out of their township. This is an action now that's going to come down to the ground, and we have, meaning groundwork by all of us. Cattle tagging is a huge one, and they're going to continue with $15 million buried into this massive bill they just passed. This is the beginning to try to get the technologies in place to test bed it and to try to get farmers to comply to these rules so that the big arbiters like Tyson and others will seize control of the cattle market, make us dependent on foreign beef, and then limit the access to beef to control our consumption of food, to force us into the industries of bugs, literally, and lab-grown beef, which could come from cells even from dead babies. Not exaggerating. Understand how vicious this is. This is probably one of the most vicious attacks waged against our liberty, against property rights, and against our health. And it's all hidden within the bill. These people are criminal, and there's no other way to say it. So when I'm just going to put this in simple terms. When I see one of Putin's spetsnaz cutting the piece of an ear off of some terrorist that blew up a bunch of people and feeding it to him, I will only say this to those that are out here thinking that the deep state is a wonderful thing, that are listening in tonight to the show, which we always know you do because you enjoy doing that. I wish for you the same destiny because you're doing this to the American people. And every one of you will ultimately end up in the same place because this is a war. And there is the war that they're waging on America is a war of criminality and destruction unlike anything we can imagine. It is beyond evil. And beyond evil is the type of evil that wishes to take away food, wishes to put more poison food in the market, which is the same evil that willfully drove shots into people's arms. And all I can say is, yeah, well, it ain't happening. Not here. So we literally have to start taking the stand, and the local county action can't be understated. I'm going to encourage you to get to know your state representatives. I've been fortunate because there's such a common ground between, and we have an exceptional, I'm going to have him on the show too, by the way. Virgil's coming on the show here in the next couple of weeks. He is an exceptional state representative, and he's a model of how things can be done. He has his shop that repairs Jeeps. He works there when he's not up at the state. He is a model of a person in the community. He goes out literally when people have concerns, he'll sit down with them and meet with them. He doesn't make big fanfare about stuff. He gets to the root of things. And this is the type of modeling we need to have more of in our state legislatures. But the fact of the matter is that the relationships that we build in our communities and in our county levels are significant right now. Measures like this, like banning cattle tagging, need to be put forward. We need to ban it. And every county forward needs to ban it. And the sheriff needs to be given the authorities to stop it from happening and arresting those that will mandate it. That means that people coming from the state that will say, we're going to mandate it, if you don't report to the sheriff's office and provide a warrant of some fashion to mandate it, he will either arrest you or they will pick you up and drive you outside of the county limits. That sort of authority the sheriff has, but we have to empower that sheriff with the will of the people. Very, very important. All of this are things that we need to be doing on a local action to affect both the security of our counties, the security of our ranchers and farmers, and as well the betterment of our counties to pressure the state. So here's another one for you to consider. In Oregon and Northwest, they are trying to shut down Bonneville Dam. This is no small event. If they shut down Bonneville Dam because of probably some green striped toad or some minnow that died going up the fish ladder, because the people we're dealing with in the environmental circles, many of them are young, many of them are hyper-idealistic. They come up in an education system that has literally created an idiocy in them that is unprecedented because it's a culture of activism, not a culture of learning. They are propelled by the issues of emotion and TikTok, literally, and other apps that do the same thing. And their world is one of they hate what they see in this country. They hate corporatocracy. But instead of going after the corporatocracy model, they're going after the Constitution and the hatred of the United States, seeing the two as the same. It's not. Our great enemy is corporations. Corporations, global corporations, are the absolute bane of this country. And there's nothing that I will ever stand by and say it's good. It's all bad, because at the end of the day, it leads to too much power and too much corruption. They need to be broken, they need to be scattered to the wind, and they need to be never allowed to exist. And the corporate rules in the long term need to be changed so that they don't live indefinitely. They have everlasting life, eternity, as long as they pay their bill. That all has to be shattered. But in the meantime, we are dealing with an activated agent of idiots that literally think that it's a good idea to do things like closing down Bonneville Dam, which they are in the process of trying to do right now. In doing that, what they do is they affect power through the entire region, but they don't have a sense of consequence. And this war is going to continue. Hydroelectric is one of the cleanest powers you can have, but they can't understand where things happen. Their brains are dislodged. And these are the same people, if you remember, that set up the little micro city called Chaz in Seattle. They were stunned when they tore up the entire park in the middle and they planted a bunch of seeds and nothing grew in 2 days. This is the level of intelligence you're dealing with, which is really literally like cultural intelligence, hands-on intelligence rather than intellectual intelligence. So we are dealing with a very much damaged culture of idealisms and foolishness that is trying to upend this culture. Now, Virgil was telling me that he's on that committee, by the way, of dealing with alternative energy and green futures. What is interesting is what's on the horizon. And this is leading again to county action. In the state of Oregon, we have a ban since the WHOOPS, which is the Washington State Power Nuclear Power Regulation System, which goes back to the early 80s, and Trojan, which is a Trojan nuclear power plant. After Three Mile Island had a meltdown, most of the nuclear power plants across our country got to a position where they were no longer popular and many were shut down. Oregon passed a law at that time forbidding nuclear power within its state boundaries. Now, there is a move in our legislature to try to undo that and change that law. With that is a perception driven by these woke idiots that think nuclear power is bad. Here's the deal. Bill Gates just purchased the company that has these new micro nuclear power generating systems. These systems use a pelletized system and salt that can never melt down, that's completely safe. Most of the technologies that you find out here that are melting down are based on the technologies that Nimitz promoted that came out of the Navy program because it was profitable to him, not best for what was in the United States. These new systems were originally pioneered up at Oregon State. In fact, Oregon State, in spite of the fact that we have a nuclear power prohibition in our state, Oregon State University has a nuclear power facility on its campus and has pioneered this new type of nuclear energy, small, agile, very localized. The state of Oregon would need 54 nuclear power generators to offset what it needs for all of its power and to be self-sustaining. This is a really incredible thing I'm ready to share with you. These 54, the 54 generators could be installed, and in the process, you would have a green, safe, and decentralized power system that would be very local to county level. We have 36 counties in our state. 54 would mean an area like metropolitan Portland would probably get 4 or 5 of them, where a county like my own would have one, and it would be all that we would possibly need. This is a dream, if you think about it, because it gives us power at a decentralized level that now takes it away from the massive control grids. So what do you do? And this is where I'm getting to, is the action item of what we're – and so he and I talked about it. The next move that he's going to help me write is a measure that we're going to either put on the ballot or get the county commission to agree, or probably both, that will ultimately lead to, if it's done right, a vote in the county that will say we are open and ready to receive as first adopters of this technology. And the move would then be to put that in as many counties as possible, which, since my county is a very influential county, it would swing a lot of the southern counties. All this is important because then, as he said himself, he said, with that type of pressure, it's likely that the governor would be willing to sign a legislation that said that we no longer are going to ban nuclear power. That's when the door is open then for new things to start happening. This is the ground level change that we need to stay focused on. And as we stay focused on that, we're literally eroding the control grid that they have over us using an action group, which is just a vanguard group of assault, verbally abusive people, which are woke agents, to try to drive specific corporate agendas. And as we try to break up that cabal and try to break up the power to get the power back to the people, action ultimately comes down to local. Local action changes national politics and, most importantly, changes state politics. Trending and tracking towards where Trump wants to go, and I will tell you, I don't think there's any stopping him becoming president. I truly mean that. As wherever you think he is right now, everything is trending towards him being extremely well-positioned to win. The Biden administration has only hired 70 out of the over 300 operatives that they need to run his campaign because they can't find anybody, and they're going to dismally fail. And there's nobody to replace them but Biden, because however the politics have worked in D.C., literally they are chained to Biden and they're going to die with Biden, which is a good thing for the country. So Trump's big push, if you're paying attention to his platform, is going to be returning more power to the states. As an example of how much of a failure that has been, when we undid Roe versus Wade, effectively the left went into action and more work was done for the left than was accomplished by the conservative base in our nation. And Roe versus Wade has not improved the abortion situation. In fact, I would argue in some states it got worse. That can't happen anymore. We as people have to get active in our counties and start being proactive rather than reactive. And proactive is looking on the horizon to say things like this, like whether it's going to be the issues of cattle tagging or whether you're looking at the issues of energy. And we start to look at the key aspects of what they use to control the world, which is energy, food, and money. We have to be moving in those directions to create county autonomy and independence away from these master plans. And as we do that, the county-by-county action becomes extremely important, and it fuels the ability to keep these big movements of federal government and the state at check, and better yet, decentralizes the model to such a degree that we are now able to start realizing a greater level of liberty and return to the Constitution. That stage is now set. People are ready. They're starting to understand. They're starting to take a deeper understanding in their politics. As these other truths come out, they're starting to be disenfranchised from the main system, and this is time to go on the attack, bottom line. We go into the attack, you go into attack mode, you start thinking about informing people about what's going on. The Diddy case is a great one because it gets into breaking norms and idols, and it shatters it, and it allows for the opening of conversations, even if they're not exactly as you want, to what is going on. Even if somebody's defended Diddy, as an example, it's an opportunity to discuss the greater issues: child sex trafficking, abuse, homosexuality, the corruption of morals. These things that now give us fuel, and then we start to get from those topics into what's going on in our community, what can we do about it, and we step into that. We now have a stepping into developing local action for improvement in our local communities. Because at the end of the day, I would argue that there are very few people that will ever advocate for anything other than a better future for their children. And when we can start getting the linkage from where we are to improving the future down the road without having to get into this ridiculous race-baited nonsense and start talking about tangible results like power, like food, like better money for the families to live on, we're into the right trend of things, and we start to literally see the counties changing the nation and, in the long term, changing the world. Patriots, let's pray. Father God, I just want to thank you today for this time we've had and the blessings that we continue to have each and every day as we assemble, we share our knowledge, share what we have, share the words that we're given, and to come together as a community to raise a nation. Father, we just lift up the United States today. In particular, we lift up the counties, and we pray into those areas and those motivators, those action agents, those people that are getting down to the ground in their counties to change things. And we just pray a blessing upon the hearts of each person here today to have that stimulus, that motivation to be active in their counties, to get to know their representatives, to get to know the county commissions, to get to know their sheriff, and to lean in and start talking about real problems. And not just talk, but now take that talk into action and translate that action into things that are tangibly change and improve people's lives. With that, Father, we just pray a blessing of discernment. A blessing of discernment that allows us to be guided by the wisdom of Holy Spirit, not just the wisdom of emotions or the lack of wisdom in emotions. we need more than ever a very wise sight on the way things are going, a clarity on the steps that we're making, and a direction which we can pursue that will be righteous, will be based on the principles of loving thy neighbor and improving the lives of all. So guide us, Father, in these times. Direct us in all things. And we say these things in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. And so just to leave you with a little bit of back story in D.C., probably worth noting. If you're a Marjorie Taylor Greene fan, I hope you're not, most of what you're seeing right there with the attempt to remove the Speaker of the House was her doing, her move, because she's having a wonderfully, that's not even the right term, she's having an affair with Kevin McCarthy, and she's been trying to get her bedroom beau back into power. That's where that came from. So keep that in mind. Politics are the illusion. The truth is always behind the walls. I'm going to end with this piece. It's a great piece. I've played it previously, but it's worth listening to. It's a good piece on the principles. This man uses six principles of homesteading, very similar to the seven pillars of County by County. Take a listen.
I call this the six pillars of homesteading. One, grow your own food. Maintain an orchard. Grow a garden. Learn how to forage off the land. Reduce your reliance on commercial produce. Two, raise beneficial creatures. Keep chickens for eggs. Raise bees for honey. You can get cows for dairy, goats, rabbits, and sheep, whatever suits your lifestyle. Three, learn how to preserve your own food. Canning, dry storage, smokers. Four, build your own infrastructure. Solar or wind power for energy. Propane backup. Keep a well house for water. Five, reduce your waste. Build things out of upcycled materials. Wash and reuse your plastics. Compost your food waste or feed it to your animals. Six, be a positive part of your community. Participate in farmers markets and local functions. Show up with your tools when somebody needs help. Be there for the people who care about you and the ones who don't. Eventually, homesteading is about liberty, independence, and self-sufficiency. So whatever you do, do it as your genuine self.
Such an important principle, and all these things, when we get down to the principles of life, which is loving thy neighbor, taking care of your home, providing food for your family, all of this other corporate nonsense just evaporates because we don't play. And that's the biggest thing. Remember, defiance against these corporate tyranny is compliance and love in God. Patriots, keep your head up and your eyes forward. Never bow to evil. Never relent. Always press into the fight. God is with us. He'll never forsake us. And in the end, God always wins. But we are here in this time, in this place, for just such a time as this. We are at war, so walk boldly and fearlessly with Christ. Occupy the land, expand the kingdom, subdue the enemy. Mission forward. Patriots, I'll see you tomorrow morning for Bended Knee. Until then, or until the next time, God bless, good night, thank you, and out for now.
Oh, I want to feel something. I just want to breathe.